People do that. Why do people... Food is falling out of Sarah's mouth. Sarah's just sitting there and food is falling out of her mouth while she's sitting in the seat. Why do people tell me stuff right before the microphone goes on and they go, but you can't say that on the air? Sons of bitches. Right. It's for Rick Emerson, just 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I shall only visit Mecca Jackson if he comes with Robo Bubbles. Anything else would be distinctly un-Vegas, and as such, it would be un-American, and I won't have it. The only ability to robot monkeys. That doesn't make any sense. Aaron, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to read the rest of this email. It just descends into gibberish. It's 503-733-2970. I'm going to read a couple of these, then we'll pay a visit to the Ministry of Truth. Poor Kristen. Look, I'm reading at the screen right now. Kristen Bowie, who's in for Scotty J, who's gone the rest of the week. I'm looking at the screen, line one. He says he's the Lord of Evil, won't give me another name, but wants to talk to you. No, not going to happen. This email says, Rick, as a current resident of Southeast Portland, known comedy Felony Flats for almost a year now, I'm constantly amazed by the high number of men, unclean and unshaven, who make their daily commute via bicycle. Of course, the difference between these riders and the majority of Portlanders who choose to ride to work is that these fellow citizens are pedaling around on boys' BMX-style contraptions they undoubtedly stole from some poor child on the west side, and they've attached some sort of can-collecting trailer device that they drag behind them. I choose to look at Felony Flats as purgatory for those of us new homeowners that choose to squander away our good credit rating at a younger age. Future tenants of Tim Riley. Love the show, Joel. No, it's true. Without
that is true.
Without people with poor credit, Tim Riley don't eat. It's 503-733-2970. I'll read one more. Rick. Here's what happened recently. The city of Portland pulled up with 9 Greyhound buses loaded up. This is a different email. I already read this one. Where's the one I was looking for? No, this one about Michelle Trachtenberg. No, I got nothing. I had some email about a guy cooking somebody in a barbecue grill. All right, well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. Screw it! Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The assistant manager of the Scappoose Burger King is in trouble. Jessica Thurston, the assistant manager of Scappoose Burger King, is accused of stealing job applications, and she's only 20 years old. She's been arrested on 18 counts of identity theft. Apparently, last week, investigators say, she used some of the applications to open up some accounts, allegedly.
What kind of account could you open pretending to be somebody from Scappoose?
That's a good question.
I did an account at the free clinic.
She was alleged to use the applicant's personal information to open up accounts, 40 counts of identity theft. So, if found guilty, she'll never make manager of the Scappoose Burger King.
Fantastic.
This just in, former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld cannot be tried on allegations of torture in overseas military prisons.
Torture?
The lawsuit contends the prisoners are beaten, suspended upside down from ceilings by chains, urinated on, shot, sexually humiliated, burned, turned upside down in boxes, and subjected to mock executions.
Well, nothing can be done about it.
That's nitpicky. That's their problem, really. Liberal Democrats in the Senate and House plan to resume the fight for women's equality today when they introduce the Women's Equality Amendment. Ted Kennedy, of course, and Barbara Boxer, and a few others, plan to join Eleanor Schmiel, the president of the Feminist Majority, whatever that is.
What is her name?
Eleanor Schmiel.
Let's just say it. She just sounds hideous, doesn't she? Can you imagine?
Don't mess with her.
No. She's
out come the nails.
I don't think that Eleanor Schmiel probably has very long nails. I'm sure they're probably blunt and they're on stubby little fingers. And
you know that she works in transmissions or something?
Yes. Yes, I am, Tim Riley.
All right. Well, maybe she does.
Saying like being attacked by a fire plug. Eleanor Schmiel just sounds like a made-up name. It either sounds like a made-up name or it sounds like some sort of an unlikable Harry Potter character. That's all I'm saying. This is your new flatmate, Eleanor Schmiel. And then it turns out that she's like in the employee of the Ministry of Magic. or something. Anyway, it's for what? What is this story even about?
Equal rights for women?
That's a bunch of poppycock.
It's not going to happen.
I wonder who he is, what that is. We've had a whole bunch of stories here from Denver. We had that story early on that was... more than the story we had earlier, the astronauts and
the astronauts are visiting Portland because all the kids here want to go into outer space.
So we have an astronaut story and something about the ERA, which I thought got voted down or say expired or whatever the hell happened to it like 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Right, and we really don't need it anymore because we have a woman assistant manager of the Burger King, the Scappoose Burger King.
Is there nothing those people can't do?
Right.
All right.
Not anymore, though.
I remember, this is a funny story about the ERA.
I want to hear it.
It's a phrase that you don't hear very often. I have an amusing anecdote about the Equal Rights Amendment. When Laura was growing up, you know, she grew up in Salt Lake City. And the Mormons, of course, the Mormon Church, they were just furiously opposed to the Equal Rights Amendment. Because why would you want that? And so they mobilized, and in fact, Utah was the... because it has to be ratified by, oh, God, Lisa got her to kill me, 38 states? 37? 38? Hello?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. 30-some states. It has to be ratified by, I think, 38 states, and Utah would have been the 38th state. The Mormon Church mobilized the populace to oppose it, and so Utah decided not to be in favor of the ERA, and that was actually the state that led to the ERA not being ratified, blah, 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 blah. When she was growing up, her mom's, the way that they indoctrinated people to be opposed to the ERA was to be told that if the ERA passes, little girls and little boys will have to use the same bathrooms everywhere they go. And that was the big scare tactic that they used all the way through because people in Utah are not tremendously intelligent, and they're taken in by such flim-flammery.
Well, so. this femininism is the first step toward communism.
Of course. Eleanor Smeal.
All right, let's do a couple more here, and then we'll
make it quick.
Eddie Griffin crashed a rare Ferrari Enzo worth $1.5 billion into a concrete barrier while practicing at a racetrack, destroying the car, but not himself. The 38-year-old actor-slash-comedian was practicing for a charity race to promote his upcoming film Redline when he drove too fast at the Irwindale Speedway. The red car screeching before it ricocheted off the barrier with heavy damage to its front. The film's publicist, Randy Zox, says he's doing okay. He walked away completely unscratched, a little bit shaking. The Enzo is owned by Redline executive producer Daniel Sedek, whose exotic car collection is featured in the movie. The Enzo is damaged beyond repair.
I love it's the happy lilt in your
Eddie
voice.
Eddie came out of it okay, but my dream car... is destroyed.
Fantastic. All right. That Redline movie looks terrible, by the way, but I'm going to see it opening weekend. It looks so bad. It looks so bad in all the right ways.
What's it called? Redline?
Redline.
I don't think I've even heard of it.
Have you ever seen the Cannonball Run? Didn't your ex, who cannot be named, he ever make you watch the Cannonball Run? It's got Burt Reynolds in it.
Mm-mm.
Isn't that like a rule with that guy? You have Burt Reynolds. You got to watch it.
Seriously.
And then I have to reference it ironically. Whatever. Anyway, if you've seen the Cannonball Run, you've seen Redline. Or if you've seen Gumball Rally, you've seen Redline. But it's got a lot of like guys yelling at each other with their faces 6 inches away while like Crystal Method music plays and the guy going, it's not just a race, it's who I am, you know, and then it's got a lot of like, I don't want your life style dialogue between like older guys and like young bucks who play fast and loose with the rules and can't be tamed. Inexplicably, there's all these observations about this Scappoose Burger King. Am I the only one that thinks that Scappoose sounds like some sort of... how do I put this?
I don't know.
It sounds like some sort of a slang term for...
medical issue.
A medical issue. Can we welcome out of the recovery?
Maybe it's an old Indian word.
That's exact. Well, okay. I do believe it is an old Indian word. Davey Nipples from Storm and the Storm Large and the Balls is joining us. Now, hi, Davey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Dandy. How are you doing?
I got an ointment for my scapooses.
But that's what I'm saying. Scapoose, first of all, that's got to be an Indian word. But it does sound like...
So what's plural? Scap high?
I'm saying it sounds like... It sounds like...
I think you just have a dirty mind.
Maybe. It sounds like it's a reference to some sort of sensitive area of one's anatomy.
Something Eleanor Schmeel, maybe?
I don't think she has one.
Autopsy results show Anna Nicole Scappoose was not unusual.
Yeah, there you... That's exactly... Well, that's close to what I'm talking about, yes. Her papas. That's what we're calling that. Let's get these Scappoose Burger King comments, shall we? Brad, hello, sir.
Hey there. Hey, I actually met this producer in L.A. at the L.A. Auto Show
for a red line, and he is, I mean, it is redundant to say the guy's a slimeball and an L.A. producer, but horrible human being. So as it pained me to see the Enzo crash today, I did get a little glee out of it.
It's always good to laugh at the shortcomings of others, isn't it, sir?
Yes, and, well, you made a living out of it, so I guess it's good.
It's true.
So,
touche.
My point on the Scappoose thing, if you were going to steal the identity of someone and then try and rack up a bill, would you really do the assistant manager at a Burger King? Wouldn't you prefer somebody with a maybe a little higher credit limit?
Seriously, how much, really, what can you really charge on the account of somebody who's applying for a job at, no offense, the Scappoose Burger King?
All the ingredients for meth.
That's what,
a container of night crawlers.
Totally.
Yeah, right. And I mean, he was going to maybe do, you know, radio people, but they didn't want to suit that. Yeah,
all right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. All right. There you go. That's, all right, Kristen, FYI, we're not going to talk to Mr. Lord of Evil. You tell him to call back when he gets a real name.
You got
to
at least get a loan.
I don't
know. Anybody who calls in with that as the title, you know.
I kind of have this rule that we don't talk to people who call up and give themselves kooky names.
Okay.
That's like an, I don't know why. It
like baby apples.
No, it's even at the stage name, which is different. Hey, now, can I ask this? Is your, because your given name is not a secret, right?
It's no, it's...
Is, are you
my address?
No, I'm just saying.
What are you doing?
I have a question, but it involves
your real name.
Your real name, and I didn't know if that was something that you.
No, I'm very proud of my real name.
Are you going to ask about
Loprinzi?
Loprinzi.
Are you of the gymnasium by the Egyptian club, Loprinzi?
Look at the guns, baby. Can't you tell?
Is that because there's that Loprinzi's gym that's right up there?
Yes, that was family started and family owned up until a decade or two ago.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know. I was biking by it the other day, and I thought, I wonder if.
All right.
My friend told me that actually was it on the front page of the Oregonian today? Loprinzi, something about it?
They're having some issues because that Gold Gym's trying to move in down the street, muscling in on the old
turf. Have you seen that place in Vancouver? It's not God's Gym, but it's I think it's called Lord's Gym.
Lord's Evil?
It's a gymnasium for today's aspiring Christian bodybuilder. Oh, and on the front, it's like, it's terrifying. It's a huge place for us. It's like the size of a gymnasium. It's massive. And on the side is like a gigantic painting of like Jesus. Like
a muscly Jesus?
Yeah, muscly, like ripped out.
Breaking off the cross.
Like
carrying it.
Roid fever Jesus bench pressing the cross. It's the creepy. Joni lives right by there. It is the most terrifying thing ever.
Wow.
He's kind of like, he's like scary kill you Jesus. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I don't know if this is kind of related, but you know, in the news a couple of days ago, I heard about a manager of a subway in St. Helens that was doing the exact same thing, was ripping off, taking job applications and stealing identities.
Maybe it's a whole chain of people.
I wonder if it's a kind of like a conspiracy with these things.
Fast food restaurants in regrettable town. I'm sorry, what?
A subway in St. Helens. There were women there, a young woman there was a manager there, and she was taking job applications and basically stealing their identities.
Okay.
We'll turn that over to Clyde.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. He sounded just like that patient that Bob Newhart used to have on that show, the bald guy with the glasses. I'm here because my wife doesn't understand me. Chris is having a train. Jesus Christ, he was calmer earlier. All right, final call, and then we're going to move on to some other things. Benjamin, hello, sir. Now no one will ever hear it. All right, and we're done.
Nobody knows you exist, sir.
Nobody knows you. You break the rules, your call gets dumped, and you don't get to try to impress your girlfriend. It's 503-733-2970. All right, I'm just going to, I got this email subject to get to. We got the top five. Let's also welcome, lifting up the microphone, let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Fuel Show as well. Hello, sir.
Sorry.
What are you doing there?
I don't have a cough button.
Yeah, that's okay. What's up? How are things?
Things are well.
What are you going to tell your daughter about that big-ass pot leaf you got under your arm?
I don't know why she had to go there right out of the gate.
No, because we were talking about Amsterdam earlier. We were talking about Amsterdam, and then somebody was talking about hash, and then I was like, well, what's the difference between that and pot and blah, 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 whatever.
I know. Not that I would partake.
How did we know? Who was it that said he would know? Was it you, Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
Sarah's like, yeah, Dennis would know.
Well, you know, I mean, you do things when you're younger, and some of them are smart, some of them are stupid, and getting a giant pot leaf with a medical sign tattooed on your arm, definitely in the top five of the stupid things I've ever done.
So how old were you when you did that?
of legal age, but unfortunately not smart enough to know any better.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So, anyway, but I thought of you when I saw this story about Eddie Griffin destroying this car. This cost $1 million.
$1 million car. I can tell you, I have gotten just absolutely bombarded with emails about, have you seen the preview to Redline? Have you seen this movie?
It's terrible. It looks so bad.
But the thing is, now, from the preview, you got to understand, from a car guy's point of view, and I think you can adjust to this a little bit, Davey, is, you know, all of a sudden I see girls that are hot, cars that are fast, music that is, for lack of better terms, better than, you know, banjo off of Hee Haw, and I'm thinking, okay, this has some idea. Then you start to get about the other 30 seconds in the promo, and you realize that the plot is, as you put it,
it's totally the Gumball Rally. That's exactly
the Gumball
right.
Rally was a cool movie.
The Gumball Rally was great, which preceded Cannonball Run, I think.
Oh, by far. Did. And the most classic Raul Julia quote of all times, which is, what is behind you does not matter, as he rips the mirror from the Ferrari and throws it behind him. I mean, that is something that has burned into my psyche forever, but to try to reinvent that, did you realize that they actually had guys like, they had a bunch of professional poker players in it too. So somehow there's one of those sites that no longer can do business no longer, leave it at that. But there's a bunch of professional poker players in it too. So I was really thinking that it was going to be good. And then I watched the trailer and, you know, that's...
Oh, I'll totally see it, though. I mean, it looks awful, but it looks... There's movies that are terrible, but are so deeply satisfying in so many ways. And Scarface is one of those movies. We talk about Scarface a lot on the show. But Scarface is just... When is the last time your ass sat down and watched Scarface front to back?
It's been a while.
It's a terrible film. There's nothing good about it.
Only if it's a cut version. I mean, if it's an uncut version, I can make it through the last half, but that's about it.
It has aged so badly. I mean, it's just terrible. There's nothing... Even the, you know, the say hello to my little friends, that whole sequence is just awful. It's so much better, like, in your memory. Scarface is kind of like an ex-girlfriend, where the memories are just so much better than it would be if you go back and try to reinvestigate that, because it never holds up.
Well, you know, movies like that sometimes, and I mean, I don't mean to have the Legion of Geek come and kill me just as I walk outside the studio door, but my HBO has just playing, you know, randomly over and over and over all the Star Wars movies.
Right.
And unfortunately for me, they're getting...
Tread carefully.
I know.
Walk lightly.
I can only watch... I mean, CGI is bad if it's a guy named Jar Jar Binks, and that right there is enough said.
Right.
But some of the effects from before, now that you've seen it, it's like watching Poltergeist or any other movie that, when the effect was new, it looked so state-of-the-art. I can only watch, like, the strings and, like, you know, see the guy's hand behind the Death Star so many times.
You see Frank Oz's elbow, like, up behind. I could never get over, I mean, and this is a terrible thing to say, but I could never get over how much Yoda just sounded like Fozzie. That was my whole thing.
Then in the first of the three new ones, he's a little puppet. And then the next one, he's doing triple backflips over some guy's neck. I mean, it's like any of those movies. Cannonball Run is another one where I actually was on late night HBO. Decided to DVR it. I'd watch this. I'd make my wife watch all these kind of movies, much like the Burt Reynolds experience that you went through, Sarah. And I would make her watch these movies, and I'm starting to watch it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this movie is really that bad.
There's nothing. Here's a terrible thing. Yeah, you just nailed this. The worst thing is when there's a movie that you remember being fantastic, and you do not research it. You don't do your homework, and you're like, oh, this is great, honey. We're going to rent the following film. And then you rent... You know, whatever. You go to the store and you rent something that... I remember the first time I made Lara watch Land of the Lost. Because she'd never seen it.
Talk about bad special effects.
That's your whole...
Hey, I grew up on that. I love all that.
No, and I watch it now. And the thing is, like, when you watch Land of the... Which I own the entire series on DVD now.
I'll be borrowing that.
It's fantastic. But the thing is, like, you watch it with two different sides of your brain. Like, when I go back and watch the Land of the Lost DVDs, the little Sleestak creatures come out, and it's like... To me, I can still kind of shift my perspective and see them with six-year-old eyes, and they're goddamn... See, don't do that. Why are you going to do that crap? They freak me out. They're terrifying. And they got the big-ass black eyes and, like, you know, but it's weird somehow. It's like... But then when you watch that series with someone who has never seen it before, suddenly the magic is ruined. It's like they're inside the magic bubble, like, ruining... They're bursting it somehow. And you watch it, and suddenly it's just like a guy in a green scuba diving outfit. You know what I mean? And, it's like Hollywood run out, and there's, like, the worst stop-motion dinosaur you've ever seen in your life. So, and it just becomes, it just becomes embarrassing.
At least they didn't make a bunch, you know, at least they didn't make a bunch of sequels. I mean, can you imagine, now I've got my wife to watch Cannonball Run, can you imagine what I gotta do? No, no, seriously, the second one was better. You know, it has Dom DeLuise.
It has Jamie Farr in it. We can't possibly, isn't Jackie Chan in that too?
Jackie Chan's in that, so is, oh gosh, Telly Savalas is the hitman. I mean,
God.
Yeah,
the only thing I remember about Cannonball Run 2, other than the fact, doesn't Jamie Farr play, he's a sheik?
He's the sheik.
He's an Arab or something.
Yeah, and they got the medical doctor and the guy, he's got his little peon that every time they want to do something to the sheik, like slap the sheik, he has to grab this other guy like he's an out of work
sheik.
And then slap, you know.
I can't come out tonight, I'm at home playing slap the sheik.
You're on your own with that.
All I remember about Cannonball Run 2 is sitting there in the theater. I went to see it with my friend Shane, who was a kid who lived across the street from me. We were both like 10, maybe, 11. And that was a PG movie. It was before PG-13 even, because it was pre-Red Dawn, which was the first PG-13 film. And it was PG, but isn't there like a lot of like long-ass lingering nude shots in that film?
Well, they do the little, you know, whatever.
Well, they have pasties or something on?
They have pasties on the...
The little tassel things?
Exactly.
But there's some sequence where there's like the camera takes about 4 minutes to go from the top of some girl's head.
There's the two
head.
Girls that drive the Lamborghini that are always...
When's the last time you guys saw this movie? I can't recollect half of these.
I know this is the first time this phrase has ever been used, but Cannonball Run 2, when I think about it, it just seems so hot when I think about that sequence.
Well, Fran Tarkenton, I think, was it? Wasn't it Fran Tarkenton?
It was hotter than Cannonball Run 2.
Wow.
Makes me excited just thinking about it.
You guys are digging.
But it's like you're 11.
Well, there was Sarah Bach. What was the other girl? Cheryl T.
As detached from the show as Sarah was earlier, by the way, the Cannonball Run 2 discussion has really just gone.
I thought it'd be Tim, too.
Cannonball?
I'm sorry, Tim.
Yeah, Cannonball Run 2? I don't believe I saw the motion picture.
Every time you say Cannonball Run, I keep thinking of Cool Runnings, and that's all I can think about.
Cool Runnings with John Candy.
Forget about the age difference.
Yeah.
There.
No, I just got to say this about Cannonball Run 2. There's somebody out there who cares. I don't know who they are, but there's somebody who cares. No, about Cannonball Run 2, though.
About Cannonball Run.
There is this awkward stage that boys go through, like about 11, 12, 13, I would say, before you're like a full-fledged teenager. But you're not a little kid. Do you know what I'm about to say?
It's like where even the scrambled porn will get you there.
Well...
Whoa.
Get you there.
You know what?
You know exactly what it is.
I have to
Sarah's
admit.
Got a mouthful of water, too, and she's trying not to spit it out.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. The Scrambled Spice Channel on, like, Channel 7.
I totally did.
That is the worst phrase you've ever said.
Scrambled porn.
We'll get you there.
I'm guilty.
I'll get you there.
You know it, right? I mean, it's just one little flash of clear, you know, one little glimpse.
Yeah.
I'll get you there. Man.
You women don't know what it's like.
And then your mom wonders why the basement is locked.
Space channel.
What do you know? Washing my hands. I'm washing your hands for an hour. I'm dirty. All right. That wasn't even the point I was going to make. Sorry. I'll make my Cannonball Run 2 observations later. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Davey Nipples is here from Storm and the Balls. Wow. Dennis Bitzenbarger for the Fuel Show. Stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.
You are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
That's fantastic. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Got emails about ERA's Eleanor Smeal. Rick, did someone say that Eleanor Smeal was a mechanic? Perhaps she has short nails because she works on Volvos all day. Volvos. Volvos. Okay. 503-733-2970. Rick, how about listener party 10? Listener party 10, it'll get you there. Okay. We're here with...
claiming that one.
Don't ever claim that. Why do you have to do that? We're here with Dennis Pinsenbarger from The Fuel Show, Davey and Nipples from Storm, Large in the Balls. Talk to those guys.
Got more in a little sticker there for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Here's one for
you. See the... all right. We'll talk more in just a second. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A walking sex offender is found hiding in an old barn. Clackamas County Sheriff's Patrol had reports that 43-year-old Gregory Todd Baker was hiding in an old barn of some primrose pants. So they got the sex offender sniffing dogs out there. They told him to come out peacefully. He complied and did. He's being held without bail right now.
Was he really hiding in a place called the Primrose Path?
Yes, he was. South Primrose Path.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the northern one.
In a barn.
In an old barn.
That's where they hide sex offenders up there?
Well, he was hiding.
This barn's a-rockin'.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Will Ferrell and John Heder are rival figure skating in the new hilarious, besides splitting comedy, Blades of Glory. Apparently, John Heder was asked how he broke his ankle while he was filming.
I was going for a spin, and my ice, the toe pick, it was, like, dug, I guess, a little too deep into the ice. I was really shoving in there, and I went into the spin, but my foot just really held tight, so my body kept spinning, but my leg did not. And I just kind of crumpled over on top.
All right, well, that's enough. That's a gripping story. Thanks for that. Thanks for that guy who will always be Napoleon Dynamite and whose career will never recover.
Jennifer Aniston sightings are few and far between, but she went out to dinner last night with Lisa Kudrow and Courtney Cox. Incidentally, all of you who enjoy lesbian love scenes, tune in to FX's Dirt program tonight at 10 o'clock, where you can see Jennifer kissing Cox.
Nice. That's something I'll pay to see.
That's it for now. See you tomorrow.
Bam! And he goes out on top. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of the Western world. Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go.
You're welcome. Kissing what? Cox. I'm sorry. I had something in my throat.
Oh, boy.
All right. Anywho, I don't even know what I was... what I was going to talk about. Rick, about Michelle Trachtenberg's head. Would it be untoward of me to suggest that there are certain situations in which having Michelle Trachtenberg's head be able to spin all the way around would be advantageous and arousing? Wink, wink. And he says, I don't know what I'm talking about either. Thank you. We'll get some of these emails and so forth in just a minute. What are people calling about? Should I? All right. Let's see. This is... Justin. Hello there.
That's the beach.
Seriously, calling me from the inside of Walnut Shredder. Thanks for that. All right, we're here with Davey Nipples from Storm of the Balls down to Spitzenbarger from the Fuel Show. Well, Davey, first of all, what's up with you guys?
My
friend?
I came here to hang out with my lovely radio personality.
That was my subtle attempt to hand it off to you for pimping and whoring should anything need to be done.
A segue into the fact that...
Oh, fine. Just reveal the... pull back the curtain. Fine.
We're actually playing this weekend at the Wonder Ballroom.
Now, see, again, I have to go because I've never been there.
Oh, you
please
should.
Come.
It's a good venue.
It's because I'm lame. Now, what kind of a place is it?
It is a...
like Union Station or whatever, right?
No.
Or that place?
No, it's over on Russell Street, and it's actually ballroomish, rectangular, large room, wood floor. It's a great venue, to see bands and to also play. It's a wonderful room. It's got good sound. We'll be there this Saturday. It's hard to get you out of the house, right?
I know. I'm lame.
But I give you credit. You have come to several things where I didn't think you'd make it past 10 o'clock.
I've tried. No, I try every now and again. So I try not to be completely and totally lame.
Well, are you interested in coming this weekend?
Yes, I am. I bought this band Explosions in the Sky that I'm kind of into.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be playing there at some point. And so, anyway, so I was curious about the venue. So I'm glad. So if you're going
like
this weekend, I will go.
If you're this weekend,
I will leave the house. I will attempt.
Miss Dillon, you can hold him to it.
Outside concert.
I will.
All right.
You need to get out of the house a little more, right?
I know, I'm a terrible person. All right. I had a thing I was going to do. It wasn't the Thora Birch story either. All right. Do we have time to do the top five?
Top five what?
I don't know.
It seems kind of wrong to do Scotty J's top five without actually Scotty J.
I know, but
there.
It's terrible, but I'm looking at it here and it's awful. All right, let's see.
For those of us not in the know, why is Scotty not here?
He's off doing some crap with his family. I think spending time with wife and children is sort of a thing. All right.
I can understand.
Well, if we don't have time to do that, then I'm just going to say this, and I'm just going to finish the story about Cannonball Run 2.
Oh,
no, it's not even about Cannonball Run 2 as such, because we were talking about that.
Are you kidding?
It's not about I was just going to make an observation. You're high, Missy. You're just in
to be funnier.
Just because someone... what is that?
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I don't think you are kidding. I think we've entered the land of Snoopy, Sarah.
I told
Sarah.
You, no,
Maybe
I just...
throw in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference.
I would like to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm just saying, I told you, every time you say see? What is it, Cannonball Run?
Yeah.
I keep thinking Cool Running, and then it loses my interest.
Would you like me to talk about Cool Running?
Yes.
Did you feel that's the way to attend, Cher? I like this program because he talks about cool runnings and Jamaican bobsledders of all kinds of varieties. No, the thing, I was simply going to make this observation, that when I saw... in the theater, I was about 11 years old, and I saw it with my friend Shane, and I was... Despite Dennis's claim that this is all about 11 years old being the age when anything will, quote, get you there.
I was older than you. I was 13 at the time.
Especially because you thought I was talking about it in reference to sitting next to my friend Shane at the movie theater.
Oh, that's a whole different discussion.
Flap the chic.
I was just going to... It's that awkward stage where... Because I think when you hit like 14 and 15... And see, you guys have both got kids, so you get all of this fun. As the last time I think you, Dave, you were on with Dennis, and we were talking about Susan Reynolds' daughter and how she's kind of an alien, and Mailman Chris's kid who was here on the.
How old is this kid?
I don't know. Old enough to be mental. I'm sorry.
Was that allowed?
How old is Colin? Mailman Chris's kid? He's like 13.
I think so. I think
that's gonna be a long ass 5 years.
Yeah.
I would lay in some drugs for the both of you right now. I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just saying that clearly it is, there are some parenting hurdles ahead for Chris, as I think he himself would tell you. I mean, I think at any moment that kid, Colin, has probably got 5 or 6 unattended fires burning somewhere. And I mean literal actual fires burning that he's got to go keep an eye on.
You still never know what happened to the cat.
No, I mean...
Wow.
So it's
that was awful.
It fell into the Tupperware.
And then it sealed it. On its own.
He put
from
his
inside.
Cat
we
in
can't
Tupperware?
Prove it. We can't prove it.
Wow. So Chris had a live cat and now he doesn't.
He had.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable silence.
Well, that brought the room down.
Hey, you know that place off 84 about 62nd? You know, they house people there. I'm just saying.
All right.
Not that I haven't visited before.
But I was going to say that, you know, your daughter, you know, you've got your daughter things to look forward to. And then your kid, you know, you've got your boy to look forward to when he's a kid. I just remember being, because... When I was about 12 or 13, however old it was when this movie came out, my friend Shane and I go in there, and I think that might have actually been one of the first movies that I was allowed to go see unattended. We didn't have any adults there. And it was just me and him. Our parents dropped us off, you know, have fun at Cannonball Run 2. Here's a quarter. Call us when the movie's over. And so we go in and watch it, and we didn't know anything about it. So we're sitting, you know, we're like 12 or whatever. We're sitting there next to each other in the theater watching Cannonball Run 2, and, you know, the race is happening and the whatever. And then there's that scene. And is it Catherine Bach?
Well, there's Catherine Bach and...
Who's the girl who unzips her race suit? Who unzips and they do the long pan down her
bosom. Both of them.
Several
times.
And so we're sitting there, and it was just... And I mean, I don't think girls know what this is like. I don't, because Sarah's kind of giving me the arched eyebrow, and I don't really think girls know this, where Shane and I are sitting there in the theater, old enough to sort of like, you know, you're 11, 12, old enough to sort of, you know, to react to that kind of thing on a movie screen, but young enough that you still feel really weird and awkward about it. And I have to tell you this, there is no weirder or more awkward feeling than sitting next to another guy in a darkened theater, and then suddenly on a screen is just a pair of huge boobs, and you're like 12, and it's a whole lot of like, okay, I'm not going to look at you, you're not going to look at me, we're going to look straight forward, I'm going to make sure that my arm is completely off the rest of the chair, we can't even inadvertently touch each other, because if we do it, our brains will rewire and then we'll explode. And that's it. Our heads will begin to smoke and catch on fire. So we can never, it totally is like that, it's like the Steve Martin, John Candy playing Strange and Unobvious thing, which is just all of this weird awkwardness and everything. Your thing, though, you'd be in a 12 or 13 inches where like any glimpse of nudity is enough to serve whatever your purpose is as a young boy. The truest illustration of that is, see, I wonder about kids today. I really do wonder.
I think it happens younger and younger.
I think that plateau
is reached where you might have, I mean, at least, granted, I'm going to be 37 this year, but like you kissed your first girl when you were in high school. I'm admittedly a late bloomer. I didn't really have girlfriends through high school. I was too much of a dork. But it was like, that was high school. Now it's middle school. I mean, by the time our kids go to school, it's going to be like, I'm moving in with my boyfriend, and really, so you're in fourth grade. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. It scares me.
I mean, you're a boy, and I only know about the male experience. So you're growing up now as a boy, you don't have to like look through the Sears catalog or look for the glimpse of a boob, you know, in some movie that's on the Showtime late at night. Yeah, it's all just there, and it's like, and that's, you know, I think I don't know if that's why the. It's like you look at like other cultures, like Japan, and like where Japanese porn is just like so bizarre. It's like the weirdest thing you've ever seen. What is this? Well, it's a nude grandmother with five heads, and she's being assaulted by an octopus. And you're like, well, why? Why are you looking at that? I don't know. I'm into it, you know? And you've got to wonder, if kids start seeing porn like earlier and earlier, is that what they're going to need to get aroused by the time they're 30?
But I think that might be the society thing, because if you look at the way that the European, Europe as a whole takes nudity and porn as such a nonchalant thing, is it that America as a whole and the conservatism is just hanging on to
the
lie?
Well, we're alternately so obsessed and horrified by sex in this country. That, see, Sarah, you didn't think anything smart was going to come out of talking about Cannonball Run 2 in your face.
Well, it's like America is so politically correct, they have to be incorrect. I mean, I don't know. It's like it's...
Well, because we're obsessed with it, but we can't admit that we are, or we have to pretend. Like, we have to put up this sort of shell of, like, offense. Like, I am horrified by this sex that I continue to watch constantly and without... Jim, let me ask you this. When you were, like, 14, 15, did you ever watch a movie with your parents and then suddenly the sex scene comes on and it's like, there's you, 14-year-old guy, and then you're, like, sitting on the couch with your mom watching some film that you didn't know had nudity or a sex scene? That's a special kind of hell.
I remember my first... foray into making my parents uncomfortable. I was like in the back seat. My parents were in the front seat.
Dorm.
No. That's later in life. She still makes it uncomfortable. But song, Mama's Got a Squeeze Box.
Down, oh, yeah, by The Who.
And hey, Mom, Dad, what's a squeeze box? And I remember just the... And they just, like, looked at each other.
It's an accordion.
Yeah, my dad's like...
Go to bed.
It's something she wears around her neck.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I was like...
We have to believe part of that.
I get that all the time. It's not fair.
Was bad?
No, it's just...
Better safe than sorry.
Are you playing conservative America over there, Rick?
Sarah and I are... We're easily made to awkward by
that. You just talked about five-headed Japanese octopus porn... And also,
that's different.
I'll just a little click on the dump button.
Mama's squeeze box.
Let's take a look at that button. Keith, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello, Rick.
Hey.
Best interview ever.
Hey. Thank you.
You're thinking of Cannonball Run, the original, with Adrienne Barbeau.
Oh, Adrienne Barbeau.
Over.
Yeah. She
shimmies out of the... I'll take care of this.
And she's a well-endowed woman, too.
That's oh, yes. But don't forget the Valerie Perrine factor as the state trooper. Yummy.
I haven't, you know, the thing is, I haven't seen either of those Cannonball Run movies before. Have you done a third one?
I hope not.
No, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of the Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Burt Reynolds wasn't even in that one.
Yeah, all right. All right. Thank you, Keith.
Right there.
Actually, you're welcome. Bye.
All right, thanks. Logan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, Logan. I didn't even recognize on the screen. This is Logan, who's one of our... Do you ever go to school? What is your deal?
It's spring break.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just supposed to know that. Like, crucify me. What's up, brother? How can I help you?
Yeah, the whole sex scene that just comes on randomly during movies, that is really awkward to watch with your parents when you're about 11 years old.
But how old are you, Logan? Mom, she's
I'm 12
cool.
now.
You're 12?
Yeah.
All right. So would you like to share your own personal anecdote about that, Logan?
Okay.
What was the movie?
Did it
This is so awkward.
Did it get you there?
I just dumped myself.
Oh!
I pushed my internal dump button.
I think we're all going to be arrested after this phone call.
I know. God, I was kidding.
I didn't finish it. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, I was tailored to R. Kelly.
I was watching 300 in the theater with my parents.
Oh, and there's a full-on, like, very long, slow-motion sex scene.
What's that movie rated?
R. With an adult, though, you can go in.
Any age kid can go in?
Yeah, if you're under 17, must be accompanied by Guardian.
Okay.
I mean, a parent would look at that. I mean, I didn't know it. I figured, well, it's violent, whatever.
Right.
But you don't go in there and you figure it's like some full-on Caligula, you know, sex scene. And it's nothing, like, horrible, but, I mean, if you're there with your dad, I mean, it's a little awkward. So, anyway, so you're there with your dad or your mom?
Both.
Okay. And so was it just a lot of awkward silence?
A very awkward silence. But the crowd is very enthusiastic, so the people in the back were going, woo!
So you like movies about gladiators, too?
Hey, Logan, you ever spend any time on a Greek fishing boat?
You ever hang out in the locker room? All right, Logan, God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Okay. Oh, that's Logan.
I won't even comment about seeing a grown man naked.
That whole call was just so great and weird. That sex scene would be, and it's like the long, like slow motion, like
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, greased up. Yeah. Okay. So I'll take a break, shall we?
You should cool off.
Get our bearings. Go back after this. Davey Nipples, Dennis Pitzenbarger. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm sorry. Somebody's got to take this Chex Mix away from me.
I know. You said you were going to have a little bit of it, not eat the entire bag.
He's been offering it to me like crack every break.
I don't want to suffer alone.
Chex Mix.
Rick, technology has screwed us out of cheap boob drills. Now the JCPenney bra section has the nipples photoshopped out. Is that true?
I wouldn't know. I go straight to the heavy five-headed octopus stuff.
A little callback there. Set, game, match. Davey Nipples, Storm and the Balls playing this weekend at the Wonder Ballroom.
March 31st.
Tickets on sale where?
At our website, stormlarge.com.
Fantastic.
And also at the Wonder Ballroom website.
Excellent. You are welcome anytime, sir. The door is always open to you.
Sweet.
Carte blanche. Can I ask, is it a coincidence that you're wearing a Rockstar Energy drink shirt?
But did you read it closely?
That's not a Rockstar shirt.
Oh, I see. That's not an R.
Now, are you going to beep that?
No.
Can I say that word?
No.
No.
What do you say? Can you say that?
It's about a famous chicken.
Oh, my
God. You've turned into Jen Lane.
Okay.
Dennis Pitzenbarger, Fuel Show this weekend. What's happening?
Well, actually, what's cooking is the day after. If you can get yourself out of your alcohol-induced stupor and going to see Storm in the Balls, you should show up at the Cheerful Pit Stop. We're having our little show party out there on the west side. It's a little NASCAR viewing party. So.
Where's that at?
It's over on the west side, over on Canyon Boulevard, a little kind of a NASCAR-themed bar. I got a monster truck coming. I got a bunch of bike clubs are coming. There's a car show there, but you can make it out of the stupor, and you all should be buying tickets to Storm Large and the Balls. Then you just kind of couple Red Bulls, couple something or others, maybe some Vizo, and get your headache gone, and boom, you're going to party.
Real quickly, let's get Rich. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick, how's it going? There was a third Cannonball Run movie. It was called Speed Zone.
Really? A third Cannonball Run called Speed Zone?
Yeah, it had Eugene Levy, John Candy.
Really?
Yeah, Speed Zone was the name of it.
Was anybody from the first Cannonball Run films in that?
Oh, it's been so long since I've seen it. I don't know.
All right, well, it's not really crucial knowledge.
But it did have all the... the bevy of stars as the other two Cannonball Run films.
I wouldn't knock yourself out like trying to relearn that information. I would just let that go, my friends. All right, thank you, Rich.
Okay,
all
take
right,
care.
There you go. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Rachel McGrath, Steve Kastenbaum, Lisa Goddard, Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11. Davey Nipples from Storm and the Balls playing Saturday, March 31st at the Wonder Ballroom. Tickets on sale at stormlarge.com. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the amazingly intoxicated Sarah X. Dillon.
Okay.
AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA today is Kristen Bowie. And for Scotty J, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Let's see. Like is next. Donna Mike at 7 is always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and don't forget to help the retarded. The Rick Emerson Show, see you tomorrow at 11. Don't forget Stephanie Miller, 6 to 8. Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. See you tomorrow. Bye.